It was my father, Zichrono Livracha, who had it as his favourite hobby to delve into the various aspects of the Hebrew calendar. And when I was feeling in a quandary about it, I used to ask him, when I was in yeshiva, I asked him to write me a letter to explain things to me. And fortunately I kept those letters, and I've got them with me today in case I need to refer to them. But we will just kick off and see how we go. Chazal tell us that the Hebrew calendar is sod ha'ibur. Sod means the secret of the ibur, because there's something very mystical and secretive about it. And I think the reason why they called it sod ha'ibur is because they didn't want to make it too well known. Chazal didn't want people to, or the average person to fully understand without proper delving and hishtadlus, because they were worried that the anti-religious elements might try and diffuse it. As we know from the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, they used to light bonfires to spread word about the Rosh Chodesh, and the Kusim came along and they tried to disrupt it and made false bonfires, as it were, to try and confuse people as to when Rosh Chodesh is. And it's very important that we know when Rosh Chodesh is, because otherwise, how will we keep the Maridos properly? In Parshas Shemos, Peret Yud Beis, Posuk Beis, we have the famous Posuk, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim, and from there we get the mitzvah, that we have a mitzvah to be Kaveh HaChodesh, to fix the new moon. And Lochem is the punch word. Lochem means to you that you will organize it according to your calculations and according to your sighting. So the amazing thing about our calendar is Hashem is saying to us, you have to fix it. The most amazing thing about Yom Kippur, our Day of Judgment, is that we are fixing our Day of Destiny. So why does the Torah require us to sight the new moon? Why can't we just be presented with it? In fact, nowadays we go according to Hillel, the second Hillel, where we don't go according to the sighting of the moon, because we don't have a Beis Din, we don't have a Sanhedrin. So we go according to the Molad. And this Molad we announce every month when we're Mekadosh the Chodesh in Shul on Shabbos Mevorachim. Although we don't announce it for Tishri. Although Tishri is the most important Molad for us. Because we do fix Rosh Hashanah in a way according to the Molad. Subsequent months we've got 30-29, because the approximate month is 29 and a half days, the time it takes for the moon to orbit the earth. The exact period is 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes and 3.5 seconds. But let's, for round figures, just say 29 and a half days. But coming back to our question, why is it that the Torah requires us to observe the new moon, and that we should hopefully come back speedily in our days to the system where witnesses will see the new moon, go to Beis Din, and even Mechal Shabbos, in order to get to Beis Din, that's how important it is to break Shabbos to get to Beis Din to report the sighting of the moon. And even if there are hundreds of witnesses who all come to the Beis Din, they will all be breaking Shabbos to come in order to report this sighting. The answer to this question I found in the Perush of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch on the Chumash. He says that when we Mekadosh the new moon, it's the beginning of a spiritual renewal and spiritual revival. Every month for us is a rejuvenation. In fact, the word Chodesh doesn't necessarily mean month. It means the beginning, the new month, from Chodosh. And it would be an absurd assertion for people to say that the Jews lacked the astronomical knowledge, and so they had to sight the moon, because that's what the Abikosim were saying. Chazal knew when the Molad is. And indeed, if on the 30th day no one had come to report the new moon, then they automatically made the 31st day into Rosh Chodesh. They knew when the Molad was. Indeed, if they said that we go according to the sighting, you could go weeks because of clouds without being able to see the new moon. But l'chatchila, the opportunity was given to us to try and go by the sighting. What Rav Hirsch writes is that by relying on our own efforts to see the moon is to remove us a bit from nature, which is automatic. That we shouldn't feel as though it's plonked upon us. The word moed comes from the word yad, which means to call a meeting, like we have with Oel Moed. That means to say that Hashem is purposely leaving it to us to fix the moon, because we are his people, and he wants us to come to him. He wants a meeting of minds. He wants to come out and meet us, and that we should come out and meet him, so that we go and observe the new moon. And if it would only be based on astronomical calculations, we will be bound by blind nature as though it were a cult. And it's interesting, because in Rav Hirsch Perush it's written in capital letters that the new moon is not based really upon the conjunction of the moon with the earth, but each time that the moon finds the sun again, so Hashem wants his people to find him again. So now we're in Golus. We don't go according to the sighting. We have to go by fixed dates. So we lose that free choice of dates. We lose that approach that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Hirsch says that is a reason why we keep nowadays Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golus. By keeping the second day Yom Tov, we are constantly reminding ourselves of the Kiddush HaChodesh, which was Al Pi HaRe'iyah, which went on in the time of the Beis HaMikdash and the Sanhedrin. And that because of this reminder, we should bear it in our minds that we are not going according to a mechanical method. Your moons, your months, it's your lives. You have to come forward and be proactive in the way that you fix your calendar. And Chazal were particular, in fact, when they fixed the calendar for nowadays, that Rosh Hashanah should not fall on certain days of the week. Lo Adu Rosh. It should not fall on a Sunday, or on a Wednesday, or on a Friday. If it would fall on a Wednesday or on a Friday, then you will have a Friday or Sunday Yom Kippur. And Chazal were worried if you have two full days without being able to prepare food, it will be causing a lot of hardship. And we'll come back to the Lo Adu Rosh shortly. There's a 19-year cycle when the moon and the sun coordinate. And I've spread around a handout. Unfortunately, the Morahs were unable to come today and they've tendered their apologies. But you've got in front of you, the first three pages are a list of the birthdays of Julian's children. Rafael Mora, Natan Mora, and Libby Mora. And you will see that the dates of their birthdays, obviously, come out at different times every year on the solar calendar. Rafael Mora was born on the 13th of Adar, which is Tanis Esther. And you will see the dates in front of you for 50 years as to when his birthdays will be falling. And it looks as a jumble of dates, but when you go through these dates, you will see that on some years to the next, there's a 10 or 11 day gap falling behind. And then you sometimes see a date which is about 20 days ahead. What's the reason for that? Because the solar year is 365 and a quarter days approximately, and the lunar year is 354 days approximately. So there's something like just under 11 days difference. And we want the solar calendar and the lunar calendar to work together. Why? The Torah tells us to go according to the moon. So why do we have to go according to the sun? Who cares about the sun? Because the Torah says that Pesach has to be in the spring. That when the Mazel Tole, the lamb, sign of the zodiac comes, that's when you have Pesach. You are not allowed to have Pesach earlier than that, or later than that. And in order to make sure that we therefore keep the solar calendar and the lunar calendar in coordination, we have a 19-year cycle. And seven times in those 19 years, we have a leap year. Because if you wouldn't have these leap years, then every year, Pesach will be 11 days earlier. Or Rafael Mora's birthday would be 11 days earlier than the year before. And this is indeed what happens in the Muslim calendar, who don't care at all about the solar calendar, that every year, 11 days earlier, is Ramadan. And there are other Muslim festivals. Because according to the lunar calendar. And therefore, over a period of some 33 years, you get Ramadan coming backwards and backwards and backwards, and back into the winter again when it was 33 years earlier. So sometimes, so the Muslims are fasting, so it's very difficult for them in the summer because they've got a very long day when they're fasting in daytime and they're eating at night time. But in the winter, they've got a very short fast day in the winter, which is very nice for them. But there is no consistency from one year to the next, and the Muslims don't see a need to coordinate with the sun because they have no religious requirement to do so. But we have. We've got the the Pesach in the spring phenomenon, and we've also got the issue of St. Tyler Motto, which we start this week, which goes according to the solar calendar. Yes.
It's interesting, the Hindus do the same as us. They have the same calculation as we do.
Oh, interesting. I haven't gone into how accurate their calculations are, but we will touch on the accuracy and the amazing phenomenon that Chazal had the foresight to know how to calculate the length. Because if you just are a short period out, then over many years, you get a very big difference. And the result, therefore, is that Pesach could get later and later and later if there is a miscalculation on the solar calendar. So that is really the three sets of birthdays. And Julian apologized this morning, so I gave him the handout to look at in advance with his children at the breakfast table. But if you look at the fourth page, you've got Pesach on the 50-year calendar. And if you run your eye, yes, that's right. Now, every 19 years, your birthday should fall on the same day. But if you look at the birthdays which we've looked at, sometimes it's a day out. And I've often had this because my birthday is in February. And because of the February the 29th, on every 4 years, you sometimes get the triggering of a day out. So your birthday should fall on the same day every 19 years. And if you look at these lists, just count 19 years, and you'll normally come to the same day or the day after. In fact, you'll always come to the same day or the day after that day. I'm coming to Birkas HaChama. The reason why I chose the topic today for the calendar is because we're coming up to Birkas HaChama. And we'll try and deal with that for about 10 minutes. But the principle is that Pesach has to be in the spring. Now, people generally regard the spring equinox as being on the 21st of March. But the Sefer Kuzari Sheni Matedon, he writes, and he was the Sfardi chief rabbi of London in 1700, and he writes the date for the first possible day of Pesach as the 26th of March. And I was a bit puzzled about this, so I asked the father of our Rav, Rav Cohen, who's a big expert on the calendar, and I told him on a walk home from shul that what Rav Nieto writes, and he thought about the calculations, and he said, yes, that's right. That sounds about right, 26th of March. Because over a period of a very long time, there is a trigger of it coming a bit later. And if you look at this computed table for Pesach for a period of 50 years from 2001 till 2050, you will never see Pesach any earlier than the 26th of March. In the year 2013, we will have Yitzhak Shem, Habalein, or Letova, Pesach on the 26th of March, but it's a very rare thing. Usually it's the 27th or 28th, a bit later. In fact, through the whole period of the 50 years, I think 2013 is the only year where Pesach falls so early on the 26th of March. And he says you can't have it earlier. Now, the actual difference then between the years, the difference between that and the lunar year, which is 354 days, 8 hours, 48 minutes and 40 seconds, is 10 days, 21 hours, 11 minutes and 20 seconds. I didn't want to get involved too much with figures, but you can see it's a bit less than 11 days. And sometimes when you're counting from one year to the next, you will notice it's a 10-day difference rather than an 11-day difference. With leap years, you'll get 383 days, 21 hours, 32 minutes, and 43 and a half seconds. Now, the molad. What is the molad? So the molad is that moment where the moon is so much between the sun and the earth that you cannot see the reflection of the sun on the moon. The moon is totally dark. And at that moment of the molad, nobody can actually see the moon. It's not visible. Which is interesting, because then in the time of Kiddush HaChodesh HaPiyah Re'iyah, Rosh Chodesh was really later than when it is now. Because now, when we go according to the molad, it's really according to the time when you can't see the moon. And this molad is calculated from the very beginning of creation. And so tradition has it that it was the sun was created on the Wednesday, of course, but the first molad, every molad is exactly 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalokim added to the previous one. 793 chalokim, Chazal made the hour divided into 1,080 parts. 1,080 simply because it's a number which is easily divisible by so many numbers. And so in order to add from one month to the next, to you get rid of 28 days, because that's exactly 4 weeks. You add one day, 12 hours, and 793 chalokim. So if you don't remember, you don't remember how to announce what this month's molad is, you just think of last month's molad, and you add on one day, 12 hours, and 793 chalokim. I made a friend in Toronto some while ago, who's a mathematician, and he worked out a way that if you just don't know when any molad is, and you don't have a luach, he worked out a method how the gaba can calculate in his mind when the molad is, but that's for outside this year. And for us, it's important for Rosh Hashanah purposes. Whereas in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, every single month they were watching the molad, and when were they were Mekadosh Aperia. Nowadays we are makbid for Rosh Hashanah about the molad, because subsequent months is 30-29, 30-29, etc.
So they sometimes didn't, because of this Friday Sunday thing with Yom Kippur.
Right, I'm coming to that.
They sometimes fixed it without really.
Right. No, well, there's something... Now... Yeah. Chazal were very makbid that Hashanah Rabbah should not fall on Shabbos. Minhag Nevi'im, it's amazing, it's called a minhag, but they were very makbid that the Arava is something crucial to the Tishri program, and Hashanah Rabbah should not fall on Shabbos when we take the Arava. And that is why Rosh Hashanah can never fall on a Sunday. And it won't fall on a Friday, it won't fall on a Wednesday or a Friday, in order that Yom Kippur is not an Erev Shabbos or the day after Shabbos. Hence, Lo Adu Rosh. So there's something called the Dechios. The Dechios will take a while to discuss, but I'll just briefly run through them in a superficial way. The first Dechio is this. If the Molad for Rosh Hashanah is going to be after 12 noon in the day, in Yerushalayim, then Rosh Chodesh will be the following day. And the reason for that is this. Chazal were makbid that somewhere in the world the new moon should be visible. And if the molad is after 12 noon, then already approaching the afternoon, then nowhere in the world will the new moon be visible. We want to discuss this on the dateline issue. So then Rosh Chodesh will be pushed off to the next day. Really? And they were makbid on this Bizman HaMikdosh, every month. Nowadays we're makbid on it for Rosh Hashanah.
If anybody can see it during the day.
No, you can't see it during the day, but in some parts of the world where it will be dark, then you might already see it. The second Dechiyah is called Lo Adu Rosh, that Chazal were makbid not on a Sunday, Wednesday or Friday, Rosh Hashanah will be pushed off to the next day. And the third and the fourth relate to the fact that we're worried about the Molad on the following year, when we already know that Rosh Hashanah on the following year might fall on one of the days, so that in a 12-month year, a non-leap year, if the Molad falls on a Tuesday, a certain calculation, 9 hours, 204 chalokim after Monday, 6 p.m, then Rosh Hashanah will not be on the Tuesday, but will postpone it to the Thursday because of the effect on the Rosh Hashanah in the year ahead. And similarly, in a leap year, the same idea applies when Rosh Hashanah will be on a Tuesday, even though the Molad will be after 6 p.m. on the Sunday. But the principle there is that, well, how do you then adjust things? Because your year is 354 days, or 355, or 353, and it won't be more, it won't be less. So that's when Cheshlav and Kislev come into play, when the numbers of days in the month might be 30, might be 29. And that's your adjustment. And that's how you regularize it. And over your period of 19 years, you will get your balance with the solar calendar. Or will you? Now, how many days are there in the solar year? Shmuel in the Gemara talks about 365 and a quarter days. And we go according to Shmuel for purposes of Birkas HaChama, which we'll come to shortly, and Saint Talmud Motar. It's very easy to calculate things when you've got this round sort of figure of 365 and a quarter. And that is why Birkas HaChama tends to be always on the 8th of April, and we do it in the morning, and it works out, for reasons I'll explain, according to Shmuel. But Shmuel is not accurate, and in fact, the Sefer Matidon says that Shmuel agrees that he's not accurate. And there is a more accurate figure given by Rav Ado Bar Ava. Rav Ado Bar Ava says, Rav Ado Bar Ava is 365 days, 5 hours and 55 minutes, And I looked at the astronomical calculation nowadays, which they do with computers, and it says, well, it varies. Generally, the speed of the Earth has gradually been slowing down. Don't know if anyone's noticed the difference. And at some times of the year, different solstices, the speed of the Earth is slightly varied, but the general calculation is 365 days, 5 hours and 48 minutes, which is 7 minutes difference to Ravada Bhairava. I mean, can you imagine, Ravada Bhairava didn't have computers, and thousands of years ago, he calculated this, and he was just 7 minutes out, according to the modern day calculation. But it's also agreed that over a period of the last 2,000 years, the speed of the Earth has
slowed down.
Can, you know, give comfort to that. The problem is that after your 19 years, if you work out Ravada Bhairava against the calculations for the lunar calendar and the solar calendar, you will discover an hour and a half, almost. An hour and a half difference. And this can have repercussions, and the Peirush Rabbi Avadia on the Kiddush HaChodesh and the Rambam says that over the next few hundred years, if this carries on, we will end up having Pesach later and later. But he says, it doesn't matter, because by that time, Mashiach will have come. It's such a minor difference, but over many, many years, that you will feel it, but by the time the difference is felt, Mashiach will be here, so it doesn't matter.
You know, when I look at the union of Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah as well, because if you say it's in the Kippur, if you say it's in the April, how did it fit that the world was created?
Well, there are two opinions about the world created in Nisan or Tishri.
But it must go totally against the people that say
what's created. What we've just described, the 19-year cycle, is called the Machzor Koton, the small cycle. That the 19 years go hand in hand against the solar calendar, and somehow at the end of the 19 years come more or less together again. And that way we'll always have Pesach in the spring. Saint Talu Motor is 60 days after the autumn equinox in Chutz Laaretz. It's 2 weeks after Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael, to give time to people to get back home after Alil HaRegel. But, and that might well change at Mashiach's time, because travelling will be faster, but we say it's 60 days after the autumn equinox here, and it does slightly, over many years, get later and later, but
it
very slightly. Yes, there was...
2 days, 11 days or something?
Yeah, Julius Caesar, he ran the Julian calendar 365 and a quarter days. And so they realized that the non-Jewish holidays were getting slightly later and later and later. So Pope Gregory in 1582, 4th of September 1582, made that day into the 15th of September, and he said any year of the century divisible by 400 will be a leap year. So 1900 did not have a 29th of February, but the year 2000 had a 29th of February, because it's divisible by 400, and every 4 years we have the 29th of February. And Pope Gregory calculated that that would be a more accurate way of keeping the solar calendar running in line with the non-Jewish holidays, because he was worried about Easter.
Thank you very much, Megair, for accountants, because beforehand, everyone will ask why the tax year always runs from 5th to 8th. Mm-hmm. If you take off 10 days from that, you'll get the quarter day.
Yeah, that's why it comes out on the 6th of April.
Yeah, otherwise, nobody understands.
Yes. We can deal with that another time. I want to deal with it with Birkas HaChamah. We don't have a lot of time. So, there are problems about Birkas HaChamah, and I'm going to describe some of them, because it's very exciting after 28 years to build up all this enthusiasm to make this bracha, and, you know, Nebuch, if you miss it, if it's just cloudy, you've got a problem. So the best thing to do is try and daven as early as possible, and a lot of people go to Hampstead Heath, where you get a good view of the sun. The sun being created on the first moment of Wednesday. So we call that Tuesday 6 p.m. That is called the first part of the Wednesday. Now, if a year would be 364 days, that is easily divisible by 7. Then the original location would be achieved every single year of Tuesday 6 p.m. But that's not the case. Because according to Shmuel, the year is 365 and a quarter, which is an extra 1 1/4 days. So trying to explain this as simply as possible, every year is 1 1/4 days later. So your Tuesday 6 p.m. of year one becomes Wednesday night, midnight, 12 o'clock, the year later. 1 day and 6 hours later. So if you do this every year as one day, 6 hours, 1 1/4 days, 1 1/4 days, 1 1/4 days, then you will be back to the same position in the way the earth relates to the sun at that time, 28 years later. Yeah, so simply 7 times 4 equals 28. And it will always then be on that same time on the 8th of April. That is the rationale behind the 28 years. QED, that's done. However, there are quite a number of poskim who say, well, you know, Shmuel agreed that his zman is not accurate, that it's not really 365 and a quarter days, it's really Rav Ado Bar Avo. And Rav Ado Bar Avo is more with the decimals. But it would be very difficult to start calculating every 28 years according to Rabbi Avo Bar Avo. You'd come out at different times and people would be confused. So the Baal Aruch says, Rav Nosson Naroni, he says, Eino Poshut, I'm not very happy about this Birkas HaChamot. It's not simple and straightforward. And the same is written by the Hagos Maimonios al Rambam, Rabbi Meir HaKohen. He says, this is not a straightforward thing. And there were quite a number of poskim who were doubting whether such a bracha should even be said after 28 years. The Ateris Zakenim, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Orbach, he was a Talmud of the Bach, he says, I doubt whether one should really make this bracha, but I see here in Krakow that everybody is saying Birkas HaChamot, so we're not going to stop it. Rabbi Akiva Eger, he quotes the Shutz Devar Moshe Simon Chai, he says the Maharal did not say this bracha with a shame and malchus. And a similar thing is written by Rav Moshe Kunitz in the Sefer Ben Yochai, he quotes that the Maharal did not say with a shame and malchus. And the Sefer Knesset HaGdolah says, it is not our minag, it's not our custom to say this bracha. And the Eliyahu Rabba writes in Arachayim Siman Reish Kavtes, Ein Lavarech, don't say it. And this is also brought in the Shutz, Rovam Weinstick, Raya Adea, Siman Lamed Ches, he says that only the Chazan should say it. If the Chazan says it, then at least we will be minimizing the risk of a bracha levatola, that one person says it and everybody else says Omei. So this is now a bit of an anti-climax for us, because we're building up all this excitement about the Birkas HaChamot. We know for sure that we don't have a 365 and a quarter day year. It's something slightly different. And the difference between Rav Ado and Shmuel is not that great. It's about 83 chalokim. But after 1,000 years, that would make 3 days difference. And there is a sefer called Musagim Bahalocha by Rav Avrom Korman. And he says, quoting all these different sources about whether you should really say it because of Tekufas Shmuel not being the accurate one, he says, those people are rushing into writing Sforim, Lazakos HaSarabim, and no doubt in the coming weeks and months we'll see lots of Sforim publications coming out about Birkas HaChamot, there'll be lots of Shurim about it. He said, all these people who are bringing out the Sforim might be causing us to be saying a bracha levatola. So I don't want to disappoint anybody. But the truth is that it does give us an appreciation. And anything which amazes you about Hashem's Bria, you can say the bracha Oseh Maaseh Bereishis. It's not that it's a special bracha like Kiddush Levona is. It's Oseh Maaseh Bereishis, which whenever you see some amazing thing in nature which Hashem created, you'll say Oseh Maaseh Bereishis, you'll see an amazing sunset, you'll see beautiful mountains. Rav Hirsch once said that anyone who hasn't been to Switzerland has not been able to appreciate the Maaseh Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right. Well, so I married a girl from Switzerland. I'd like to then move on just quoting a Mishnah.
How do they know when the first one was?
It's based on...
Because
the Torah says that the sun was created on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so the first moment of the Wednesday, we say, was Tuesday 6 p.m. The average day is 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And you're near the solstices anyway, whether it's Nisan or Tishri, but according to this we're saying Nisan. Therefore, it was created Tuesday 6 p.m. So the position of the earth in relation to the sun every 28 years is exactly the same.
If you say
on the 8th of April.
If you say
Yeah, on the basis that it's 365 and a quarter days. But we're relying on Shmuel for this because otherwise it would never be the same time every 28 years and it would be very difficult to organise.
How universe, I think generally is believed to still be expanding, which would affect these calculations. It might be why these calculations don't work correctly anymore. Because the Earth in relation to the Sun is getting further away, I believe.
Yeah.
The universe is expanding. So I don't know if the Earth getting it from the...
Yeah, so we can't say that the Earth's speed on its axis and its revolving round the Sun is exactly the same as it was 5,700 odd years ago.
The rate of expansion is slowing down.
Yeah, it rotates on its axis and it revolves. Right, that's another shear. There's heliocentric theory, concentric theory. All right. It's another subject. I'd like to deal with a Mishnah, which we probably all know already, but it's a way of concluding this idea of Kiddush HaChodesh and understanding that the role that Chazal was playing is so important. We've spoken in recent months about the powers of Chazal and how far-reaching their powers were and are. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Perek Beis Mishnah Tes, talks about a story between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. And there was a difference of opinion as to when Rosh Chodesh was, and as a result there was a difference of opinion as to when Yom Kippur was. And Rabban Gamliel was the one in charge. And so Rabban Gamliel heard that Rabbi Yoshua came to a different calculation, so he said, Gozrani Alecha, I make a gezer on you. Shetavo etzli, that you're going to come to me on Yom Kippur. V'makelcho, with your stick, v'mausechecho, with your wallet, with your credit cards, v'yomakipurim shechol yos b'cheshbonecho, on the day that it falls according to your cheshbon. What he wanted was, he didn't want a split in Klal Yisrael. He wanted a uniformity. And his calculation was that Rosh Chodesh was on a certain day and Yom Kippur was on a certain day. And what did Rabbi Yeshua do? Not al maklo ma'usov b'yodo, he took his stick and his money in his hand, difficult that it was for him. V'halach liyavna, and he went to Yavna, Eitzel Rabban Gamliel. B'yom shechol Yom Kippurim niyos b'cheshbano, on the day that it was Yom Kippur, according to his cheshbon. Omar Rabban Gamliel, on the shoko al rosho, Rabban Gamliel kissed him on his head. Omar, lo, he said to him, Bo b'shalom, come in peace, Rebbe the Talmidi, my Rebbe and my pupil. Rebbe b'chochma, you are my Rebbe in wisdom. The Talmidi b'kabbalas estavorai, that you accepted my words. That we need to have a uniformity. Everyone's got to go according to the Beis Din, according to the Sanhedrin. Otherwise we're going to get chaos. And what's amazing is that Chazal had been given that power by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fix the days of the calendar according to their wisdom. And Hashem says, I leave it up to you. And then on those days you keep... I mean, for goodness sake, if we make Pesach on the wrong day, then we're eating chametz on Pesach. But if Chazal say that is when Pesach is, then that is when Pesach is. And they can take into account the various seasonal issues and the rainfalls and problems of whether to fix an extra month, a leap year, on one year rather than another year. And the Kohen Gadol wasn't allowed to take part in the discussions because he didn't want a leap year because his feet were on the cold stone floor of the Beis HaMikdosh on Yom Kippur. So all these things had an effect on calculating when the calendar would be. And underlying this, we see the Koach of Chazal. And this Sefer, Matei Don Kuzri Sheni, is all about the Koachos of Chazal. And that is why in his fifth chapter, he deals exclusively just about the calendar. Because out of all the different decisions which Chazal were able to make, perhaps the most far-reaching of all was the calendar. And as Rav Hirsch said, the reason why we're keeping Yom Tov Sheni is a zecher, to remember that we're supposed to be Mekadosh Al Pi Ha'Ra'iyah, and there used to be doubts when Rosh Chodesh was, because the Shluchim hadn't come yet, or the announcement hadn't yet come from the Beis Din, as to when Rosh Chodesh is, or when Rosh Hashanah is, and that is why we're keeping the second day as a remembrance that we should soon, hopefully, speedily in our days, return to be Mekadosh the Chodesh Al Pi Ha'Ra'iyah.
Why is Rosh Chodesh coming to that? Maybe in Israel they should be keeping that as well, even though that they would have had Mekadosh
Correct.
Earlier. They
Correct. In Israel, you keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah because they originally kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah because it was on the beginning of the month and they couldn't get the word out. But on the other Yomim Tovim, they did get the word out in time for those who were near enough. And so the Gemara says, the Gezerah carried on, Minag Avaseinu B'Yodeinu, Sheshomu Oso Minag. They kept up the same Minag that was then. So what they felt they couldn't do was introduce a new Gezerah. So they couldn't introduce a new Gezerah to make 2 days Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael, because that hadn't happened before. So all they did was carry on where we had left off, and in Chutz Laretz we were keeping 2 days, so we carry on keeping the 2 days. And that's the reason, Shoshomer Oseh Minag, that in Israel you're not keeping 2 days on the other Yom Tovim.